Chapter 6, Post-War Society. After the war, Bournemouth Blind Society underwent a number of changes, allowing it to continue to progress and grow. The society had to adjust back to peacetime life and set up a post-war planning committee to look at the ways to progress the society forward after the war. During this time was the creation and development of the NHS and the welfare state as part of post-war recovery. These services helped the blind, took some weight off society's shoulders, and allowed them to focus their time and funds on helping blind with sight-related problems. As it could be more difficult to work and not much pensions up until this point, the society was an amazing lifeline to the blind living in poverty. The NHS also helped to increase the rates of vaccination, eradicating polio. Vaccination was something the society had been campaigning for since 1911, since almost a third of blindness was caused by illnesses like smallpox and polio, which could be vaccinated against. The Second World War had greatly affected the society, who expanded their reach to help the blind affected by the Blitz and had to adjust to wartime sanctions and emergency measures, such as rationing and a blackout. The blackout had put a stop to the society's evening activities as well as committee meetings, which became less frequent as many members of the committee had other daytime requirements, such as work, including war work and working with the blind in the community. When the blackout ended in April 1945, the society were able to resume evening activities such as dances held at Rupert Hall, and the committee meetings returned to their pre-war schedule. Alongside the end of the blackout, evacuees said goodbye to the society and began returning home. Although some who enjoyed living in Bournemouth decided to stay, such as Mr. and Mrs. Dixon, a blind couple from London. As travel became safe again, the Bournemouth, Southampton and Portsmouth societies were able to revive the intertown games. The societies competed at whist, cribbage, draughts and dominoes, organised by Bournemouth, Portsmouth and Southampton. Games took place across Dorset, Wiltshire and Hampshire. An event was held on the 5th of July 1951 and was a big success. The games were particularly popular as it allowed many of those who had been evacuated to Bournemouth during the war to meet their friends they had made during their evacuation. On the 27th of October 1950, Bournemouth Blind Society was commemorated in the Bournemouth Echo. The article commented that the society was providing what the welfare state lacked and described a sense of compassion, friendship and affection given out by the society. In September 1949, with the stress of war over, the society decided to expand the Home for Blind Women. A special subcommittee was selected by the society who made plans to enlarge the home. Due to popular demand, one intention of expansion was to accommodate blind men as well as women. An architect, Mr. Rumsby, created plans for an expansion and arranged planning permission. Advertisements of the plans were put in the Bournemouth Echo to recruit tradesmen for the project. Eager to help the society's expansion, 11 companies quickly offered the society quotes. The society chose the best deal so funds could stretch as far as possible. The work then commenced. Both builders and architects expected the home to be completed and ready for occupation within the new year, 5 months from start to finish. It was important to build the accommodation quickly due to housing shortages, especially for blind men after the destruction of the war. The committee knew they would have no difficulty filling 11 new spaces with deserving cases of both men and women. At the grand opening, the mayoress was also in attendance and expressed her pleasure for the society, stating that no public duty she had been asked to undertake during the past months gave her greater pleasure than to declare open the new extension. The role of teachers continued after the war as a vital part of the society. They continued to complete home visits as well as visiting those in hospitals, teaching handicrafts and putting on workshops at Rupert Hall. This continued the society's early aim to train those capable of being taught and to find employment for the blind. There were many teachers over the years who taught a range of crafts to the blind in Bournemouth. Mrs. Green was one of these teachers. Although she was a home teacher at the society, she also did a lot in the local community. This was evident as in 1949, between the 13th of July and the 12th of September, she made 271 visits to the home, to the social centre and the Braille Library. The teachers were very committed to the work of the society and often travelled to London attending training courses on new handicrafts and to find out more information on the prevention of blindness, as this remained an aim at the society. At the time, the teachers were able to offer a wide range in lessons. Braille continued to be a popular skill, allowing the blind to read. Typewriting was taught by some of the teachers, and was very employable skill as a Blanca transcript speech. It's suspected that some of the typewritten minute books may have been written by one of the blind members of the committee. Beyond these skills, handicraft was a popular and employable skill with the blind. Handicraft lessons included basket weaving, as baskets remained a commonly used item. Leathercraft was used to make leather items such as bags. Carving, stamping and moulding could be used to manipulate and embellish the leather. Using touch as they created distinctive textures. Similar to basket weaving, the craft of netting could be used to make fishing nets, useful for seaside towns, but also to create more intricate designs like string bags and hair nets. The lessons being taught by both the home teachers became so popular that by 1950 it was reported by Miss Kerr that many of the blind she visited in Pokestown and Southbourne wanted to attend but found it difficult as it took so long to travel to the hall on public transport. Society decided to bring some of the workshops closer to Pokestown and Southbourne. It was arranged with the Vicar of All Saints Church in Southbourne for the teachers to hold handicraft classes in the church hall. These classes alternated every Tuesday between Rupert Hall and the All Saints Church. With the kind assistance of Alfred Allen, director of the American Foundation for the Blind, the Bournemouth Blind Society was able to arrange for Miss Helen Keller and Polly Thompson to pay a short visit to the society on Thursday the 22nd of February 1950. Helen Keller was a deafblind American woman who had been described as one of the 20th century's leading humanitarians. She was an incredibly inspirational woman as the first deafblind person to earn a Bachelor's of Arts degree. She went on to become an author and political activist, campaigning globally for the rights of the blind. The visit was seen to be an inspiration to everyone at the society. Miss Keller was guided around the home, meeting members of the society. Helen Keller's visit was a really important moment in the society's history, as she was such an inspiration to the members and a prominent figure of the blind community. As the NHS and social welfare expanded, allowing financial help for the blind, relieving the cost of expensive glasses and operations that the society had once helped with, the society could focus their funds towards cheering the lives of the blind. Inter-society games continued, including a special coronation games event on the 30th of June 1953. Bournemouth Blind Society competed with societies from Southampton, Wiltshire, Hampshire and Portsmouth. The games took place at Southampton and were considered a fun success, despite Bournemouth coming third. The continued charitability of local businesses and clubs went a lot towards allowing the expanded activities for the blind. In September 1950, Miss Kerr and Miss Guild of the Bournemouth Echo arranged for allowing blind persons to go to football matches and bring a commentator with them to give them an explanation to what was happening on the football pitch as the game went along. In 1955, Bournemouth Choir offered the society 12 tickets to their concert at a very reduced price, something many of the blind really enjoyed. In October 1955, the area manager of Hoover Limited held an exhibition in Bournemouth and offered the society a stall free of charge to show work made by the blind people. Mr. Homer and the teachers jumped at the opportunity, which gave the society a chance to display the work of the home workers and pastime workers. The exhibition lasted for 4 days and was a great success. The society was given a similar opportunity in December 1958. They were invited to participate in the Holdenhurst Road Traders Exhibition, who offered the society a stall for sale of articles. The society was able to make £22. Throughout the post-war period, the home worker scheme and pastime workers continued to be supported by the charity. The teachers continued to help supply pastime workers with craft materials. For the Festival of Britain, the society arranged a special sale of work at Rupert Hall on the 14th of June 1951. The National Festival promoted British recovery after the war and celebrated British industry, art and science. During the festival, the blind gave demonstrations in handiwork, including weaving and leathercraft. The festival turned out to be a great success, the society making £84. As the number of home and pastime workers grew, Mrs. Kerr, one of the society's teachers, also began to arrange summer and Easter sales of work. These sales allowed the workers to make money as well as fundraise for the society. During the 1950s, the society was grateful to gain many helpers from the local community. Miss Runacres, for example, offered her services as a driver to the society when she gave up work as a hospital driver in October 1955. She began to drive for the society 3 days a week, helping transport the blind around Bournemouth, often to and from the society's social centres at Rupert Hall and Hannington Hall. She was also able to help drive the blind to the annual summer outing, as well as to the increasing number of day trips the society were able to arrange, often due to the help of volunteers. Unfortunately, in 1955, Mr. Homer, a founder of the society who had been a member of the committee since 1911, passed away. A memorial plaque was unveiled at Rupert Memorial Hall by his wife, Mrs. Homer, on Friday the 21st of September 1956, which is still there today. A speech by Mrs. Homer described her husband's loyalty and victory over blindness. The plaque itself read, "In honour, memory and grateful acknowledgement of the lifelong services to the blind of LVC Homer, BA, LLB, founder, member, Hon Secretary and later President of the Bournemouth Blind Aid Society. Blind from birth, he set a great example, 1882 to 1955. In 1957, the Society was able to open a second social centre in Boscombe, named Hannington Hall. The centre was designed to cater for about half of Bournemouth's 500 blind people. Its purpose was to serve the blind in the areas of Boscombe, Southbourne and Springbourne, who often found it difficult to travel to the centre in Moordown. The building was previously a church and was converted by the Bournemouth Blind Aid Society to use as a social centre. There was a great demand for a second social centre in the area. The society often had to hire out small church halls for socials, which are too small, so there's a risk of having to turn people away. Hannington Hall would provide for blind people in East Bournemouth, just like Rupert Hall provided for blind people in North Bournemouth. The mayor at the time, Mr. Templeman, himself a member of the society, stated that "we have a fine building here, but it will only become a popular centre when it is used. Our work will be best rewarded by the blind people of the area making it the fullest possible use of the centre." He went on to say that, "nothing would give me greater delight than to know that every day the centre will be used to a full." During the 1960s, the Blind Society and its members benefited from the affluence of society, as well as many technological advancements which made it easier to live. In the past, the society had provided coal, blankets and extra winter clothing for some of its members to keep warm during the winter. But by 1960, with electricity and central heating the norm in homes, this was no longer necessary. Bread and other food were relatively cheaper now too, and such there was less need for the society's donations to be spent on these items. The late 1960s also saw an expansion in BBC radio to provide more variety to listeners. This benefited the blind, who continued to use the radio as a key source of entertainment. As well as radio, as people became more able to purchase record players, talking books and magazines became more popular during the decade. During the 1970s, the society set up a number of clubs and began organising more frequent activities for the blind. The society had always helped the young, but during the 1970s, they were able to organise activities specifically for blind young people and children. Games were a common activity. Skittles and rambles were popular. They also arranged outings for the young, for example, boat trips in Poole Harbour and to Brownsea Island. A music club was also set up, meeting at Hannington Hall. Under the leadership of Miss Ethel Woodford, the blind could learn recorders and percussion instruments. They even participated in Bournemouth Music Festival and received encouraging comments from the adjudicators of the event. The 1970s also saw society make a lot of improvements to the society's buildings. In 1974, improvements were made to the home, decoration of residence rooms. In 1979, the committee wanted to give the kitchen a complete new look and also redecorated the interior of Rupert Hall. After going through the ordeal of two world wars, the period was welcomed by the society as one of stability, which gave them the chance to develop and grow. The society were able to quickly recover from the Second World War and focus on those that had been affected by the conflict. During this time, the technological advancements that could help the blind came more accessible, improving life for many. Despite these advancements, the society remained very important, providing community and friendship to a large number of blind people who otherwise risked isolation.